Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
When that wonderful engagement ring comes on, that is the center of attention.
Dr. Daniel Pavola, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross.
Forgiveness is our diamond of engagement with God. Lots of facets to our relationship with God, but at the center, priceless, telling the story, is forgiveness.
Learn more about Flowing from the Cross, 6 Facets of God's Forgiveness, at issuesetc.org.
They're scared to talk about their real beliefs because they believe it could come back to hurt them in their classrooms, in their jobs. That's how divided America is right now.
So the idea is not that abortion is the only issue that matters, but there can be issues, including abortion or slavery and other things, that might disqualify a candidate from getting your vote.
So how can you make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds on the great scales? You can do the greatest good deed of all, and that is, by Muhammad's own words, jihad.
Our prince is not one of the candidates for president. Our prince is the one who is feeding us food that is eternal food for a life that never ends.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
It is one of the most dramatic moments in the Old Testament. Maybe not the most dramatic moment. Perhaps the most dramatic is the crossing of the Red Sea on dry land, which comes shortly after this maybe second most dramatic moment. It is the final plague that God sends on Egypt. It is the death of the firstborn. And in the meantime, he has sent to his people something called the Passover, a way of escaping that plague, but it requires death and it requires the shedding of blood. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. A little bit later, Tim Gagelein, Vice President of Government and External Relations at Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C., will join us to talk about a new report on family outcomes and education. Dr. Wendy Wang, Director of Research for the Institute for Family Studies, will be talking about a 50-year low for the U.S. divorce rates. It's both good and bad news. And then we'll spend some time with Dr. Kenneth Weeding. He's author of a column in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, What is the Lord's Supper?, talking about the sacrament of the altar. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, Pastor Tom Baker. He's hosted the radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
God is accomplishing two things by both sending this plague on Egypt and by giving his people this meal that we call the Passover. What is he doing?
That's a good question. In fact, we see this the way God works all the time. If we talk about Adam and Eve, when they sinned, he did something present. That is, he removed them from the garden. But then he also did something in the future. Through the seed of Eve would come the Savior. And when David sinned with Bathsheba, Nathan was sent to him, and there was something present that had to occur, is that he had to repent of his sins, and his son died because of his wrong liaison with Bathsheba. But then there was a promise that he would again be with his son. And he also believed, of course, in the coming of Jesus. So when you ask that question, what are the two things? The first thing that comes to my mind is, what is the present situation, and does it have anything to do with the future? The present situation is that the Passover became a remembrance for the people of God, that God was the one who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. But it also pointed forward and kind of look towards a new life that would come through the coming of Messiah, who would be the perfect Lamb who would take away the sin of the world, so that on Judgment Day, the angel of death will pass over all believers. So those are the two main things, a remembrance of what they just went through and a future hope and promise of what lies in store for them.
So tell us about this Passover meal. What was it?
Well, the Lord, after nine plagues and Pharaoh still not letting the people go, the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, and we're looking at chapter 12 of Exodus, that it will be the first month of the year for you that there's going to be this wonderful ceremony. It shall be a Passover and will occur on the 10th of this month. It will begin with every man taking a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb. And it has to be a lamb without blemish. That's important because we're looking forward to Jesus, who really is a lamb without blemish. Now, a lot of people don't realize that the word lamb could mean it's either from the sheep or from the goats. And that's what they can do. And they are to take it on the 10th day of this first month and keep it until the 14th day of this month. So there's 4 days they keep the lamb. Then they shall kill the lambs at twilight and take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. And that night they shall eat the flesh roasted on fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they will not eat any of it raw, nor will they permit it to be boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. Now, why is that important? Because the Enduring Faith Sunday School lesson makes a point about that, that also Jesus, when he was killed, no bone was broken in his body. And I never really thought about that, that that's what God had instructed to the Israelites, that they should not cut apart the lamb or anything, but the whole lamb would be eaten that night. And anything that was left over by the morning, they would then burn. But it was not just the eating of the lamb that was important. They also were to have their belt fastened, sandals on their feet, and staff in their hand, and you shall eat it in haste, because, and then verse 11, it is the Lord's Passover. Now, that word Passover, even in the English, tells us quite a bit. As the next verse says, I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. Now, who's I? Well, this is God who is speaking. And I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And it wasn't just human beings, but also beasts. And that blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I, here we go again, talking about God, see the blood, I will pass over you. Now that's verse 13, where the Passover, a noun, now becomes a verb. He will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. It kind of reminds us of the first three plagues that God had sent, water turning to blood, frogs, and lice. They all occurred also in Goshen, where the Israelites lived. And the last seven did not occur against the people of Israel. But no more plagues came upon the Israelites. they all only came upon the unbelieving Egyptians. So, verse 14 really has a word there that helps us to understand also the Lord's Supper. This day shall be for you a memorial day. Now, even in the Lord's Supper, when you ask somebody, what does it mean when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me? And a lot of people say, well, that means we're to remember what he had done for us. That's why some churches only have communion once a year, because how often do they forget that? But I don't agree with that. In fact, even with the Lord's Supper, I think the translation, do this in remembrance of me, gives the remembering something that the people are to do. I like another translation that is appropriate. Do this in my remembrance of you. Because what are we remembering? We're remembering what God has done for us. And it's not a mind thing that's going on where, oh yeah, I remember what God is doing. No, God is the actor. And that certainly is true with the Israelites leaving Egypt. This memorial day, God says it will be a feast. And then with verse 14 and following, he talks about how that feast is going to go on every year. And he's giving directions as to how the feast will take place. And that's quite important.
Why is this Feast of Unleavened Bread in conjunction with the Passover celebration?
Well, if you'll recall, it was the night of the Passover that Jesus did the Last Supper, and therefore they were eating unleavened bread. Now, there's two reasons for the unleavened bread. Number one, it doesn't take as long to make a cake out of unleavened bread because it doesn't have to rise. And leaven is often considered sin. And so in this new ceremony, which is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we get that from verse 17, it will be a reminder that I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And therefore, in the first month, from the 14th day of the month until the 21st day, you shall only eat unleavened bread. And the reason for the unleavened bread and the sandals on your feet and the staff in your hand is because you need to be ready to leave Egypt with haste. Because once Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let the people go because this is too much for us that our oldest males have died. Well, God knows there's going to be a change of mind on the part of Pharaoh. So it is with haste that the people eat nothing but unleavened bread. In fact, it is a command that you shall not eat anything leavened during that time.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. When we come back, we'll talk about the coming of that 10th plague and how through that plague and through the blood on the doorposts, God delivered his people.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
When that wonderful engagement ring comes on, that is the center of attention.
Dr. Daniel Pavola, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross.
Forgiveness is our diamond of engagement with God. Lots of facets to our relationship with God, but at the center, priceless, telling the story, is forgiveness.
Learn more about Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, at issuesetc.org.
Sent to Serve, Across the nation, children are back in 1,900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
Sanctifying your daily errands with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, etc.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, we keep the focus on Christ every Sunday with ancient liturgy, preaching from the lectionary, and celebration of the sacrament of the altar. Come be a part of the evangelical and Catholic faith as handed down to us in the Lutheran confessions. We celebrate the Divine Service every Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10:30 with Sunday School for all ages at 9:15. To learn more, visit holycrossrockland.org.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Satan would have used the horrors of war to rip me away from the faith. But here right now, Christ is coming with his medicine of immortality to heal that and to remind me all is forgiven.
He literally comes to where we are in our sin to lift us out of it. And that's what the joy of repentance is.
Off-the-record sources always have axes to grind, and they usually know what next they would like to use the axes on. You have no way to know what the sources of the report are and how much validity to give to them.
It's that single word from the cross. It is finished. My forgiveness is as certain as the fact that Christ has died for the world.
Friday on Issues Etc., we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites will play for you in their entirety, but you can listen to them in advance at issuesetc.org. You can also vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Or sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Or just wait and give us a call then Friday, 1-877-623-MYIE. Friday, November the 20th, when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. So, Tom, talk about the coming of that 10th plague.
Yes. In Exodus 12, between verses 14 and 20, God then gave directions as to how they would have a memorial feast each year of the Passover. And verse 21, we return now to that time when Moses called all the elders of Israel, told them to go and select the lambs, kill the Passover lamb. Then they take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Now, hyssop is a particular plant that also is mentioned at the time of Christ's crucifixion. And then with that hyssop, they touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And nobody can leave their house through that door until the morning. Because verse 23 says it again, "For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians." Now, I've been kind of emphasizing, God says, "I will come, I will do the Passover." And a lot of people think it was maybe one of the angels, Gabriel or Michael. No, I believe that it was actually Jesus himself that came through as the Passover lamb to strike the Egyptians and pass over the Israelites when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the door posts. Because it says right there in verse 23, "The Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. So you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever." And that's why you can go to YouTube, as the Sunday School material suggests, and take a look on how they do the Passover today, and even some YouTube little film strips about how they did it at the time of Jesus. In other words, when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. So once more, all of these things God is using to remind his people, not only that he is the one who delivered them from out of Egypt, but that he is also the one who will deliver them from hell and sin. So when the children say, "What do you mean by this service?" you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses." And it says the people will worship. So the people of Israel went and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did these things. And at midnight, the Lord struck down the firstborn in the land. Remember, that included not only human beings, but also animals who were firstborn. And it says, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, even to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So that got Pharaoh up in the night, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead in the Egyptian land. That's verse 30. So Pharaoh then kind of learned his lesson, summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said." He tells them, "Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone." And then he adds, "And bless me also." Now, what he just meant by that, nobody's really sure, but I think he's got the idea that there's only one God, and therefore, guess what? They're ready to leave. The next chapter tells us 600,000 men, not counting the women and children, left. The women and children also left, but you can understand that there were probably easily 1 million people that crossed the Red Sea, and they had lived in Egypt for 430 years. And it's very clear here that God is doing more than just freeing Israel from Egyptian slavery. He's keeping his promise that he made to Eve, that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that promise is that he will restore them back to the land of Canaan. In fact, Joseph so believed that, if you'll recall, that when he died, he said, "Put me in a coffin that you will take back to the land of Canaan when you return." And by the way, that was about 200 years before this incident, when the present Pharaoh forgot all about Joseph and what he had done. So it's a marvelous lesson that regardless of your circumstances, even if it's due to slavery or a virus or other sickness or an accident, God will not break his promise, and particularly the promise he did at the cross. You can receive the benefits of that through faith in Jesus and in reception of the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, doing it in the remembrance of the Lord to you, that he remembered you, and on your last day, the angel of death will pass over you as you enter into heaven.
In the New Testament, St. Paul calls Jesus our Passover lamb. Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, he says. Talk about the parallels between the Passover and the Passover lamb with Jesus.
Yes, in fact, the Sunday school material gives four verses where Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. John 1:29, 1 Corinthians 5:7, 1 Peter 1, and Revelation 7. And this is to remind us that just as the blood of the Lamb moved the Passover of the angel of death to go away from us, so also in the death of Jesus Christ, that shed blood, even though it goes on the wood of the cross, is also over all of us who trust in him. Because the sacrament of baptism is the means by which God applies the benefits of Christ's death on the cross to each of us. We're also crucified with him, we're buried with him, and as Ephesians talks about, we have risen from the dead, we have new life, we actually have ascended into heaven with Christ as the head of the body, and we're part of the body, and so we're at the right hand of God even now while we are here on earth, looking forward to the day when both our spirit and body will be at the right hand of God. And that's what the Lord's Supper is doing. It's giving us another assurance that God will be keeping his promises as we receive the true body and true blood that was given and shed for us.
So how is the Lord's Supper even greater than this miracle of the Passover that we read about in Exodus chapter 12?
Because in the Lord's Supper, you actually receive the body and blood of Christ. The only gift they received was freedom from Egyptian rule, and they were getting through the Red Sea, etc. But boy, did their faith dissipate when they were suddenly out of water, out of bread, out of meat, etc. And you wonder, boy, how could they forget what God has done? And that's why it was so important that we don't take the Lord's Supper once a year as though it's helping our memory. We take it as often as possible because it is a comfort to our spirit.
There are some Christians who kind of become fascinated with the Passover, even though even Jews have not celebrated the Passover since the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, not in the same way that they were before that. What is the danger of confusing the Old Testament Passover, which is a shadow of things to come, with the substance that we find in Christ and in the Lord's Supper?
Because the Passover was pointing forward to what I like to call about the dessert of the worship service. I believe that the main course is the sermon and all the other items that when you go to a meal, you'll have potato chips and things like that. That's the liturgy and the hymns. But the sermon is the main course, and the Lord's Supper is the dessert where we receive that which we are looking for in assurance. And if you don't believe it's a holy item, that's what sacrament means. Therefore, it's not a means of grace. And those churches that do not believe that, therefore, are missing out on giving assurance and comfort to many people who still wonder, am I good enough to get to heaven? The sacrament shows you that if you're receiving the body and blood of Christ appropriately, then you already have made it to heaven. In fact, you're in heaven right now, called the Kingdom of Heaven on Earth, the Holy Christian Church, soon to be part of the interim between your death and judgment day, and then the eternal heaven with Jesus at your side as you live forever and ever with a heavenly host.
What does it tell us, Tom, that, because this is really a rather bloody story, the story of the Passover, there's the blood of the Lamb is sacrificed. the blood is spread on the doorposts of the house. What does it tell us about the wrath of God and what it takes to turn aside God's wrath, that a sacrifice must be made and blood must be shed?
It is found in the Old Testament. And I've been making this point on Law and Gospel for a few weeks now. We as pastors do not explain God. We reveal how he thinks and what he does. But we don't understand. We can't explain it to somebody, well, this is why God decided to do what he did. He decided that blood needed to be shed. He decided that those who get hung are cursed. And therefore, he cursed his own son. And Jesus recognized that he would be separated from the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why he was sweating as drops of blood, not so much because of the pain that he was about to undergo in the crucifixion, because others have been crucified, but the separation from the Father, which we believe is his first word, my God, why have you forsaken me? So God does not make reasonable sense to us, but through faith, it doesn't matter what he does, what he says, we believe it. We don't need any evidence for it except the Holy Spirit who plants in our heart, this is true. As Luther ends a lot of his items about, this is certainly, most certainly true, because God has said it, and that's all that we need. And therefore, the Lord's Supper is a precious gift that was not received by the people in the Passover. They sacrificed their lambs, whereas God sacrificed the lamb for the sins of the world. And the disciples were not happy with that on the day, even Friday and Saturday. But look at what we call that Friday. We call it Good Friday, leading to Easter Sunday, when the disciples heard the first words from Jesus, peace be to you. And that peace wasn't, I hope you're going to have a nice, fine life without any problems. No, it was, you are now at peace with God the Father because of what I have done in taking upon myself the punishment of sins you deserved. And through faith in that promise, you are saved.
Finally, what's the law and gospel for the Sunday school children in the story of the Passover?
The law is, we're in a sense in slavery. Slavery to not only the devil at times, the world, and our flesh, but particularly to the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, death is the result. Now, God kept that promise, but the resulting death was not ours. And the gospel teaches it was the death of Jesus Christ, who died so that we never really die, and who lives so that we live eternally. And that's a wonderful word of comfort and hope to children who may be going through some tough times with the illness in the world today, and with bullying going on every now and then, and particularly with people making fun of Christians because of their beliefs.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Tim Gagline is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to spend some time talking with him about a new report on family outcomes and education. Stay tuned. during a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
In 2020, the world was blindsided. At the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, we quickly refocused on how to best serve the church. Our COVID-19 response team took action, reaching out and listening to our borrowers. In response, we offered a number of financial remedies that allowed our borrowers time to stabilize. We also provided online streaming kits for churches, gift cards for food pantries, financial support for LCMS church workers, and much more. Life's not yet back to normal, and that's why we're still here for you. Visit lcef.org to learn more.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.